Hey, JB.
What's up?
Don't stop.
Keep pouring?
Keep pouring, my friend.
Hi, folks. You want to save some money using promo code THELASTDROP? Of course you do. So head over to manscaped.com. Manscaped Performance Package is the best men's hygiene bundle you could ever receive. First off, you get the Weed Whacker, which is the electric nose and ear hair trimmer. I absolutely love this thing and have been using it regularly since I received the 4.0 Performance Package. But that's not all. You also get a pair of underwear that are just oh so comfortable, and I would know because I'm wearing them as we speak. You also receive the ball deodorant, which protects your family jewels from smelling like holiday drools. You also get the ball toner, which is a quick pick-me-up for whenever you want to introduce some style to your balls, and it's good for you when you're on the road. And last but not least, you receive the Lawnmower 4.0. This beauty is the personification of keeping your balls trimmed to perfection. It's cordless, it's waterproof, it comes with a 4000K LED spotlight to make sure you don't miss an inch of hair on those balls. This bad boy has specifically engineered ceramic blades to help cut through thick hair while reducing pulling, nicks, or cuts. Trust me on this, your balls will thank you. And that's not all. When you go to checkout, you can use promo code THELASTDROP, THELASTDROP, to receive 20% off. That's The Last Drop, THELASTDROP, at manscaped.com. As we always say, don't stop, keep pouring. Well, we're now also saying, don't stop, keep shaving, because your balls will thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world, welcome to another edition here of The Last Drop. I'm your Godfather of Whiskey. I am JB.
I am the injured Godfather of Craft Beer, Cody.
He is the old man of the day.
Hey, I fucked my shit up the other night.
Hey, you know, it feels good to not be the old man on here for once.
I gotta tell you. Yeah. I can imagine, man. You can take a breather for like a couple weeks.
Although, if you'd have heard the conversation me and you had yesterday, you'd have been like, damn, JB just sounds old, defeated, and just like ready for death. Because we was talking, we ran into some people, you know, we used to party with and just kind of like, oh, JB, you don't come out no more. It's like, I fucking hate coming out. That's why I said, traffic's so fucking bad. Just want to fucking go home and just go nap and shit like that. And then not only that, I said, I don't know if it's because of the pandemic or whatever it was, whatever, but coming out now, it feels like you got to do shit. You got to get ready and stuff like that. And it was like, I don't want to do any of that. I got to put work in and shit. I think it's more so just the driving. I just fucking don't like driving anymore.
Driving is not fun.
No.
Remember I used to like when I first started driving. Like, oh, I drive is fun. I remember when first time I ever drove on a freeway. I was like, man, this is awesome. I feel free. There's no street lights. I can go whatever speed I want, basically. This is great. I fucking hate freeways now.
Yeah.
I hate regular streets. I hate freeways. I barely like driving anymore. Yeah. Every now and again, I like driving, like doing like a coastal drive, like night drive every now and again. That's about it.
Yeah.
That's literally about it.
I just feel like every fucking hour, like people always say, oh, don't go at that time. It's the worst time to drive. It's like, when is it ever the fucking good time to drive in?
Which is never when you're living out here.
6 a.m. in the morning?
6 a.m.? Or dead at fucking night, like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. in the morning.
Because, like, fucking, I feel like I saw traffic actually one time at, like, midnight or whatever shit by the airport.
I just stared at it
and just, like, how the fuck is there traffic here?
if it's a 405, there could be traffic at any fucking moment.
And, you know, the thing is,
doesn't matter.
And if you live in L.A., we do this argument of which freeway is the worst. They all fucking terrible. They all suck ass.
They all have... There's no pros to any of them, but just cons. I'm about to say, they all had the pros. No, they all got fucking cons. They all suck ass. That's the
101, the 405, and the 91 are three of the fucking worst freeways I've ever been on in my goddamn life. And shit.
I think the most frustrating one is probably the 405, because remember they tried to do that bullshit expansion years back, that Carmageddon bullshit? What the fuck did that help?
I don't even know what happened.
Not a fucking thing. That ain't help shit.
You know the most fucked up thing about those three freeways is those are the three that take you literally everywhere.
Exactly. Like you can't avoid them.
Like there is no way. Like taking the street to get to these cities, you can't do it because it's like trying to drive to Hawaii. It's just impossible. You just can't fucking do it. Whatever. Yeah. So it's a fucking
maze.
I went to I was in Santa Monica. What day was that? Was that Friday? Maybe Thursday. Can't remember. I was in Santa Monica either way by the promenade. And I was about to go have lunch. Lunch. I was gonna have lunch in Alhambra. And I just said, I'll leave at 11. Should be fine or whatever. It's a Thursday or Friday. I mean, that's when people tell me the roads are better. It's usually 10 o'clock and 11 a.m. anyway. So I was like, I'll leave at 11. I'll probably get there. And I didn't get back to at least Santa Monica, maybe to like 1 o'clock and shit. And, I took out the lunch bar or whatever. That's just driving. And I'm just like looking, going like, why does getting to Alhambra from Santa Monica feels like such a fucking drag and shit?
Because it is.
You know, the funny thing is, like, even getting to Culver City from Santa Monica feels like a fucking pain in the ass. And it's just like, just getting out of that neighborhood and shit, it feels like.
Which is insane, because Santa Monica should be like maybe 15 minutes tops from here. Tops. But you wouldn't know that because everybody likes, you get a lot of tourists out here. They want to all go to Santa Monica. Santa Monica Pier, obviously, is a big destination, travel destination.
Man. And it's like right next to Venice and shit.
Right next to Venice Beach.
Yep. Marina Del Rey and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, like, you know, I'm trying to get to where the Shakey's is and that Sprouts grocery store over there in Culver City.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you might as well be just driving to Long Beach.
Same shit.
It's the same. It feels like the same fucking distance. Excuse me, same fucking distance, or whatever. Like, getting to that area where the Fox Hills Mall is or whatever shit. Shit, that might as well be El Segundo and shit. That ain't
going to
shit.
Dude, it's the same thing with, like, even going to, like, the Valley, too. I remember I used to, like, travel to and from Sherman Oaks a lot.
Yeah, back in the day, yeah.
That shit should be, don't travel, it should be 15-minute drive tops.
Yeah.
Tops. Not anymore. You can't get to Sherman Oaks in 30 minutes or 15 minutes.
I don't even go to the Valley. No, because I'm afraid.
Like, dude, literally, you go past UCLA, you're pretty much in the Valley. Yeah. And you should be set. But nope.
Before I met you, and like right around the time I met you, I used to drive to the Valley regularly because the fiance, her, she lived in, for a little bit, she lived in Winnetka. I think that's how you say it or whatever.
Yeah, that's how you say it. Yeah.
So I would go there regularly and whatever and be like, you know, I was living in Long Beach at the time and like that drive to me didn't feel like, you know, nothing. I was living in Bixby Knowles at the time. So it was like, I don't feel like anything, you know. Mm-hmm. Now if I was to say, oh yeah, I'm driving from Bixby Knowles to Winnetka, it'd be like, oof.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, you better leave at like 7 a.m. You better get a hotel and
I think I read a recent report recently that said more people are moving out of SoCal.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Like, who?
Yeah, that's some bullshit.
I'm like, who?
I am so glad you brought that up because I literally just had an argument with somebody that said that shit. Well, people getting out of this woke state and tax high free. I just like, no, the fuck they aren't. Yeah, I was like, no, they not. Because I was like,
I feel like them motherfuckers saying right where they are.
I said, just because your two friends moved.
I'm about to say, yeah. I mean, shit.
They didn't mean a goddamn thing. This is probably, look, I've been driving shit since I was 17. I'm 35 now. So, damn, we're looking about, you know, 17, 18 years now at this point. This is the worst fucking traffic I've ever seen in this state.
Traffic has never been worse.
And it's funny because everybody always say during the pandemic, oh, people moving out of this state. They're getting out. It's like, Well, they must have came back then because they realized all them disasters that was happening in Texas when that shit froze the fuck over and shit. And they was like, yeah, I can't fuck with this no more. I got to come back because it looks horrible now. It looks even way worse. I fucking hate driving. I can't stand it. So that's why I don't like leaving the house no more.
I don't blame you, brother. I don't blame you. And that's why whenever I go out now, I'm like, yeah, Ubers. I just take the. I don't like driving myself anymore.
Yeah, I don't know why. Yeah, that's why I always say, you get rich, get a Rolls Royce, get somebody to fucking drive. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, I just
fucking want
to
drive.
I only drive if I have to. That's about it.
I think I only drive to the office. try to avoid all types of drawing. I'm trying to make the best of my surrounding by finding things local. Now. What's local?
Hey, bro, that's what I'm saying, dude. Downtown Culver City is. It's gonna come, man. There's a lot of shit to do out there. So I'll be hanging out in downtown Culver City a lot now.
Plus, it's not like Inglewood.
Which I never used to before.
Plus, it's not like Inglewood, downtown Inglewood, where they tried to kick you out and shit. So
exactly.
Because they got all gentrified and shit or whatever. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
what is this Negro doing here?
Yeah.
Don't you, we don't like your kind in Northwest Chester. What are you doing here? what are you doing here? Whatever. Like, you belong on
home
that side.
Home of the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
Future home of the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah. How dare you? You need to be on that side, Jigaboo. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is where we are. Why did they just move the Lakers there? I would love that. Why did they move us there, huh? What?
Nah, we need to stay at downtown LA. We need to stay at downtown LA.
They need to fix that goddamn stadium, nigga. That stadium shit. That stadium shit.
Why everybody? I've been in crypto in a minute, but
I have. It's horrible. Why everybody else getting new shit, Cody? Huh? Shit, it's a new team.
It probably is due for like a little renovation.
Oh, it damn sure is.
Yeah,
someone tried to tell
done shit to it since they built it.
Yeah, someone tried to tell me, oh, but that's still considered a new state. I said, shit, that's a shit.
Man, it's been up since what, 99?
Yeah, 2000 when it was getting finished.
That shit ain't new. Nah, that shit's old as fuck.
It's old now. Especially when you see these other stadiums and shit like that. They look brand new, whatever and stuff.
Yeah, that shit might well be as old as the Forum. I don't want to hear that shit.
I wish they would have moved, honestly. I was like, we ain't got no loyalty to downtown shit. Like you said, we knew. Downtown ain't even LA no more. Don't nobody want to go there.
Shitty ass downtown LA.
What the fuck they going to do when the Olympics come there?
That's a good question.
You stay the fuck off the road.
Are they still doing it at the Coliseum? The Coliseum is shit. Coliseum is a shitty stadium.
I cannot wait.
It literally is like one of them old Roman Coliseums.
Yeah, it looked like it. I think I saw that in Italy.
It was built back in the day at that time. There ain't no shit to it.
Ain't this shit to downtown. People, if you go to downtown LA, it's a fucking dump. It is
a dump. We used to love downtown LA, but the more and more we went, the older we got.
Yeah,
the more years have passed, we kind of started to realize, like, we started pulling back those layers. It's like an onion. So I slowly realized, like, hold on a second.
Wait a minute. Wait. This place,
downtown LA, really ain't shit.
Yeah, it really is is like the worst part of LA. Actually,
it actually kind of is.
Yeah,
like people hike the shit up, and there's like a couple cool spots, but it ain't worth to like go out of your way and drive to downtown LA for those spots.
Also,
you can find those spots elsewhere.
It might have taken the crown as the most dangerous part of LA.
I'm pretty sure it has.
Like, I don't, I didn't share this, but the security guard in my building from my office down that way, he got beat up by a skateboard crew in front of the building.
Oh, shit.
I was like, oh.
Damn. Got skateboard crews beating you up now. Shit.
The fucking Target had like 3 stabbings right across it and shit like that.
Jesus.
Dude, I'm telling you, downtown LA is a fucking cesspool. It's just like,
damn, I guess it is just one big ass skate road there now.
Well, that's what I was saying. I want the Lakers to move, Cody, because I feel safer in Inglewood now than I do downtown.
That makes sense, actually.
Well, that's fucking hilarious. Yeah, did you hear that?
I never thought
came out?
Yeah. Would say that.
I feel safer in down in Inglewood, Cody, than I do in downtown. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't for the Lakers, I would have no absolute reason to go down there ever again. I'd be like,
of course. There's no point.
So there's did you hear
bars everywhere, better lounges, clubs. Everything else you can find better elsewhere.
So, did you know that downtown LA people that live there, it's like a culture, by the way?
Culture? What? Huh?
So, I was talking to some girl, like, right before the pandemic had started, and we still chat and everything like that, but, you know, my luck with women is like fucking a dude that lives in the Middle East in the desert trying to look for water. You know, that's like, you know, ain't never gonna happen. So... I noticed something about her, and I found something out from somebody that lives down there too. It's like, us downtown LA people, we only do downtown LA things or whatever and stuff. And like downtown LA as a whole, they see it like as if like it's the best city in all of LA to do things for events and stuff. And they only want to do LA things. And if you take them out of LA to go, like, let's just say you want to go to Rush and Culver City or anywhere else and stuff like that. They would look at that as just like, nah, this place isn't that great. They have this better in LA, in downtown or something like that. I don't know if you knew that or not, Cody, but it's a groupie culture.
It's like its own little community, I guess.
Yeah. They're the ones trying to keep the downtown LA thing alive. But I'm like,
okay, cool. Well, they keep that alive for their little group. They ain't gonna work with me or anybody else.
Yeah, because who the fuck would want to go down there and pay those prices?
I was about to say, yeah, fuck all that. I go anywhere else in LA. Have a better time.
I love it because I was told the bank tower, the reason why they put that restaurant up there and the whole the little slide shit that they got for the bank tower, the reason why they put that there is because they wanted to mimic like some of the more important buildings like in Chicago and the Sears Tower in Chicago and like fucking New York with the Empire State and shit like that or whatever. And I was just looking at them like, don't nobody look at that fucking building as like it's any equal to any of those other buildings in other states. Like, get out of here. It's like not only to mention that, when you go eat at those restaurants like in Chicago, the Sears Tower and stuff like that, that shit ain't as expensive as the one in downtown LA, okay? Mm-hmm. I've been to that restaurant. It's called 72 Above in downtown LA at the U.S. Bank Tower. You get little-ass portions. And I can tell you this right now, you're going to be paying about $400 for two people. So the part about them buildings is that the common man can go to those and eat at those places and shit like that. Common man ain't eating at this place. Common man don't want to be here, actually, whatever. Shit. So, no. They have a fine whiskey selection there, too. But a common man ain't paying them prices. I can tell you that right now. I'm not paying $60 for a pour of Stag Junior. No. No, sir. So fuck downtown LA, realistically.
That's the conclusion of this story right here. Downtown LA ain't shit. Fucking, yeah. If you're visiting out here, avoid downtown LA. Go everywhere else. Just don't go to downtown LA. There ain't shit there.
I think the farthest I take people in LA when they come out here is Culver City, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean,
that works.
If I want to go to West LA, I just take them to Santa Monica. I'd be like, there you go, water. There you go. Yeah, but like after that, that's about it.
There you go. H2O.
Water. H2O.
It sparkles.
I mean, it's missing the two in that H2, but it's H-O. So, so there you go. Don't drink that shit.
Just the H-O?
Yeah, you're just a hoe. So. I may take you to Century City, you know, I'll be like, yeah, check out the little mall, I guess, if you want to. Yeah. I may take you there. Yeah, basically what I'm saying is I'll take you to West LA. How about that's about
as far as I go. There you go. Yeah.
Culver that's City, cool. Santa Monica, Century City. Everybody else, no, I won't be taking you.
No.
I saw an interview Ice-T did, and he said, fuck that. He's like, I don't drive through LA. He said, it's worse. When the original gangster tells you that I don't go through LA, I should tell you. So I saw the comments too on his post. He's like, man, he acting like it's still 1990 or whatever. I was like, have y'all driven through these streets? It looked like shit. Okay.
Like ass.
It's like, at least back in the day, you could be like, oh, we didn't have the money to fix these cities. Nowadays, we do have the money, but it still look like shit. So amplify 1990. With 30 years later, Cody, what the fuck you think it's going to look like?
Exactly.
It's going to look worse. Yeah.
This is only natural evolution. No only natural path. The fuck you think is going to happen?
I saw motherfuckers writing, man, I drive through Van Ness and Western all the time. And I was like, yeah, so do I. It looked horrible.
Yeah.
It looks horrible. So, yeah, I'm with the original gangster on this. I think he would know, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I think him in the streets of L.A. of roaming through them, he's quite fond of them, Cody. So if he tells
pretty
you
sure.
he don't come through them anymore, then you know what? That tells me I don't need to go through them either no more myself. Oh, but Cody, we got a very important show here.
We do. The utmost importance, sir.
Yeah,
utmost.
You have two hip-hop artists you have to run through. And
I
then
do.
You have a little spirit of yours you want to share with
I
us.
I do. That I do.
I mean, so.
Very important. Very, extremely important because I'm talking about it. That's why.
Mm-hmm. It's very exactly. Important. Exactly. You are the godfather of beer. So, yes.
I am. I am. Yes. I am.
And the important stuff is starting to lose sales, like the Bud Lights and all that. So, it's great.
Exactly.
It's fantastic. It's you're doing the Lord's work here, Cody. We appreciate you for that. So,
I'm just glad I'm finally getting my validation. That's all.
You could put them out of if you could put them out of business, that'd be even better.
Hey. good old glorified piss water.
Yeah. Yeah. Glorified.
I love how it took politics to finally realize Bud Light was some bullshit. now y'all realize.
Well, it is funny because
I think what's going on with that is completely fucking idiotic, by the way. That whole with the transgender woman.
Oh, stupid.
Fucking stupid. It's stupid as fuck. Like, come on, man. Girl, fuck up.
Yeah, please. Like, who the fuck you think was drinking these beers anyway? Like,
who cares if a certain person drinks a beer you like? It ain't gonna change the taste of the shit. If you like it, you're still gonna fucking like it. Yeah. It ain't gonna change the taste of the shit, you dumbass.
It's like saying Donald Donald Trump drinks Weller foolproof, whatever. I'd be like, all right, cool. Yeah. Damn, shit.
You know what? With that mindset, you shouldn't walk through a grocery store. You shouldn't drive on the same streets because those same exact people do the same shit. Go to the same grocery stores, go to the same movie theaters, do the same fucking thing. So thereby, with that logic, you should also be boycotting that bullshit too.
I mean, if it takes that to get rid of like ignorant people, I think we should just put a transgender in every industry then or whatever. Then that'd be great then. If that's what it takes to run those motherfuckers off then, like that'd be fantastic then, you know? Like
they're a transgender scarecrow.
Yeah. Pop them up on a stick and shit like that. Be like,
yeah. You know, put a little LGBTQ flag.
Put the flag on them. What's the flag? That scared the shit out of them, Cody.
Like, hey, I'm all for it. If that gets the ignorant motherfuckers away from us, for everybody, I'm all for that shit.
Is that what it's going to take to clean up Walmart? You just put a transgender worker in there? Like, you just be like, oh, man. Walmart became so classier and clean now ever since we started hiring transgenders and shit now.
Oh, man.
Damn, so that's what it's going to take then, huh? Yeah.
Evidently.
That's the stupidest fucking thing I ever heard. I'm going to stop drinking fucking beer things. Because I saw a transgender drinking. Oh, okay. Okay. I love that you write about that. It took, like, something like this to, like, realize that, like, I don't want to drink this shit. You know, the funny thing part about it, Cody, is that transgender don't even like that shit. That's just a paid job, yeah. So.
That was a paid gig. That's all that shit was. Yeah. They're probably drinking like Stone IPA or fucking some else gonna burn some shit.
You way saw that bullshit that, movie, that sip like, that transgender took. They just went like, oh. They just touched the lip. Shit, hey, transgender ain't drinking that shit.
Ain't enjoying that bullshit.
Look, if transgender has the courage enough to figure out what they want to be, I can tell you this right now. I can tell you they got better fucking taste than that goddamn beer than whatever. Like,
guarantee you, beer. Way better taste.
Than guarantee that shit.
Backwards thinking ass.
You bold enough to get surgery or on your parts or whatever, or take pills and medication to do some shit. Trust me, you ain't drinking fucking Bud Light. I can tell you that right now.
Exactly. Yeah.
Taste buds is exponentially higher than that shit.
Hell yeah.
And I tell you, I'm talking shit about it right now. Bud Light can pay me right now. I'd sign up for that motherfucker too. I'd be like,
same fucking way.
Skip that bitch too.
I'll be a Benedict Arnold.
Yeah, hell yeah.
All that shit. Yeah.
I'd love to see Cody in one of them commercials. That motherfucker be shaking and shit. As soon as they say cut, that's it. He throw the glass. Oh shit.
Yeah, like, going back home crying, cold sweat and shit.
Yeah. Fucking I saw a transgender drinking that beer. I don't want it no more. Oh, okay. Well,
all
right. I hope transgenders do a bunch of shit that I don't like y'all do. That'd be great.
Exactly.
Then.
Yeah.
Man, we had this wrong all the way. I thought if a black person just did, we could run y'all. But apparently,
that's what I thought. You would think it would be the blacks. No.
Yeah, no.
The transgenders.
Anybody that's gay or transgender or part of that LGBTQ+ community and the pronouns and stuff like that. Hey. Hey, y'all need to let y'all voices be heard louder than shit. There's motherfuckers at this target.
Keep doing that shit. Yeah. Oh, please. Yeah, I encourage you. Please.
Hey, companies, employ these motherfuckers. Get rid of these
people. Yeah, thank you.
thank you, transgender person that scared them away from Bud Light. I got to tell you. It's funny because Corona sales had dropped when COVID had hit. Remember? So it's just like, man, so it's going to take world politics and shit like this to...
Yeah, it's going to take plagues and shit. Plagues and politics.
To end these bullshit-ass companies. Huh?
I think that's some shit. That's crazy.
Hey, you know
what? That shit is wild.
Buffalo Trace, hire a transgender. Prices will go down.
There it is.
It won't be so scarce no more, will it?
Dude, that is so true.
Yeah.
That is so fucking true.
You know what's going to save the economy? Transgenders. They're going to bring that price down.
There it is. They're the saviors.
Yeah. Matter of fact, let's name the 405 after a transgender then. Let's see if
that
road will empty the fuck out.
No, you know the freeway signs overhead? Just paint that shit the LGBT flag colors. Watch what happens.
Well, that should be fantastic, actually, whatever I think about
it. I would love that.
Should have just painted the whole shit. Paint the whole goddamn road rainbow color.
Yeah, make that shit like Rainbow Bridge for fucking Thor.
Yeah, that'd be beautiful, actually, whatever. Now, a lot more accidents would happen because motherfuckers be confused, be like, hey, hold on, now, wait a minute. I'm supposed to be in this lane?
Mario Kart shit no more right now?
I love this idea. Yeah, put a transgender there.
Great fucking shit. Idea.
Yeah. I want to get an iPhone when it comes out. Put a transgender there in Apple.
Yes.
I don't want to wait 3 months for the motherfucker to come back on set. Like, well, shit,
yeah, exactly.
I like this idea now.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, transgenders, thank you for your service.
No, appreciate that. Kudos to you. Shit. Yeah. Hey, first round on me.
I tell you what, if the
first round on me, and it won't be but light, promise you.
Damn sure won't be them. transgenders put Bud Light out of business. I mean, goddamn. That would be monumental. I mean, I don't even know what the fuck to say about that.
That would be insane.
It'd be funny because Bud Light be looking for the transgenders to help them out. Be like, hey, can you come back? Right. They'd be like, we don't drink that bullshit.
Well, y'all like the way it tastes, right? That's why you're in a commercial.
Hell no.
I'm just for a paycheck, brother.
Yeah. How about that part now? We appreciate you for employing us. So, you know, we ain't saving you. Shit. Because only people that drink.
Own shit now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's going to taste much better. It's going to have tropical fruit flavors and shit like that or whatever. And actual tasting notes that don't include piss.
Yes.
Yeah. So, they always say, like, gay people got fucking taste buds and their apartments and shit always look nice and shit like that. So what in the hell make you think that a transgender would drink fucking Bud Light on a regular basis?
I was about to say, what the fuck are y'all thinking?
unless that transgender decided to do also had an identity crisis and decided to be a redneck as well, too. then that maybe might happen.
I want to see.
I think they already had that. It was called Mr. Garrison in South Park.
Oh, that old life.
Old shit, man. Cody, who's your first hip hop from last month? Who's your last?
Oh, my first hip hop artist. Oh, so I'm gonna continue on the theme, I guess, of group from my last pick, which was EPMD. I believe that was my last pick.
Pretty sure it was. Damn, it was that long ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago because I've been working shit. But
he got old and got hurt.
Yeah, I got old. Fucked up. Yeah, lost track of time. All that bullshit. This is one of the most unique sounding groups, duos, if you will. I thought they brought, like many of the groups we already spoke about, they brought a lot of diversity to the sound of hip-hop. They're another group I don't think anybody has been able to, and I'm glad nobody's really tried to replicate their sound, because I don't think you could even if you tried. They hail out from Atlanta, Georgia. This is a group going by the name of Outkast.
Yes.
Great old Outkast.
I love Outkast.
Formed by Andre 3000 and Big Boy. Big Boy from Outkast.
Who doesn't get enough credit as Andre?
I don't think he does either. I think Big Boy is a great MC. I think the dude's top notch. I don't think he gets enough credit at all.
You know what it was? I always thought of it. It's just like Andre 3000 is so weird. He just sticks out more.
Yeah.
And I think that's why people gravitated on him or whatever. But I was just like, man, if you listen to Big Boy, his flow cadence is just like
flow is great and his wordplay is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I think he's really underrated. Honestly.
Oh, that's why I never put Andre, because everybody always put Andre 3000 in that MC list or whatever. I never put him solo in that. I always put Outkast, the group, together, because I feel like Big Boy, as you just said, never gets his fucking credit due or whatever and stuff.
Right.
I think it's just a fucking damn crime personally. And I was like, if you're going to say one, you got to say the other, because they went hand in hand together and shit like that. And let's be real, those bigger hits that they had, Big Boy was the one that was on those tracks the most. I mean,
Stankonia, one of the hottest tracks they released, Roses.
Roses.
Big Boy's verse on there, underrated as fuck, because everybody obviously talked about Andre 3000. This is great, don't get me wrong, but
yes,
Big Boy's verse on there is really fucking good. Like, really fucking good.
I don't want people to take this wrong. I think Andre 3000 gets overlooked either, by the way.
A lot. But man, the reason... Go ahead.
Oh, and I was gonna say, and I don't want people to think that we talking shit about Andre 3000 either. We just trying to give some credit to Big Boy. I never hear Big Boy's name get brought up when we talk about Outkast.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
yeah, not at all. But yeah, the reason I chose them was because of their unique dynamic. Because they're both rappers, but they both have such varying, contrasting styles to the way they approach rap. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes them work so well together as a duo. And that's what makes their albums such like an experience when you listen to them, all of them. Because once Andre ends the track, it feels like a certain way. And then once Big Boy ends the track, it feels a certain way. But they both work together in tandem. And you can't really explain it. Because on paper, you think this should not work at all because they're so different style-wise. They're very unique. Mm-hmm. But the shit works so fucking great. They literally rewrote pretty much the rule on hip hop when Stankonia came out. Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like that album, fucking crazy. It's one of the most unique albums you ever hear in your life.
I would say that was year 2000. That might have been the best album of the year.
Mm-hmm. Probably. It is one of the best albums of that decade. Might be one of the best albums of all time. Might be. Yeah. I got to think about it. I don't know. Might be. But definitely one of the best albums of that decade. Mm-hmm. For sure. Still quoted to this day. Still very popular. You hear a lot of people still playing that music. Yeah, man, Outkast. Yeah, dude, they just brought like the choruses, the way they implemented lyrics. Like they had like a lot of catchy, upbeat kind of tunes, but they were still very conscious about what they were rapping about, which I love. So you got kind of like the best of both worlds there. It had like a broad appeal, you know what I mean? But without stooping to being stupid, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Without being, you know, dumb, just shallow, you know, mm-hmm. substanceless. You know, art, you know, and that's one of the reasons I like, man, there's a duo like this. Like I said, there's a lot of duos, EPMD, Air B, Rakim, great duos, but they all bring their own little certain thing.
And very original.
Why Outkast deserves to be on the same level as these other duos is because they brought their own certain thing that cannot be replicated, just like these other groups. You can't replicate this.
And literally, they had a great guest list. They had great guest list too.
Yeah.
They would have like CeeLo Green, Erykah Badu, Killer Mike on there.
They introduced us to Killer Mike, which is one of my favorite rappers.
Yeah, Killer Mike is fucking amazing. And funny enough, I think Killer Mike is better than, I should say better, but he has evolved so much over the years or whatever.
Yeah, if you listen to his latest album.
Oh, his latest album is fucking killer, dude. He's dropping bombs. That's why when people was all excited about possibly a new Andre, I was like, man, y'all should be excited on this Killer Mike album. Killer Mike. Fucking fire.
Yeah, Killer. I know people love RTJ and all that shit, but Killer Mike just on his own is underrated as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Underrated as shit. Like, yeah, say like he helps from that, you know, a group of Atlanta rappers too, but man. You got to give a lot to Outkast for evolve. Shit. You know, got to think about it.
Yeah, it's the first.
Shit, I think you might be right. I'm trying to think back. Like,
yeah, this is the first non East Coast performer or MC, I should say, not on the list on both of our lists so far. So,
damn, fuck man, you're right. Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but you're absolutely fucking right. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Damn.
and if you got to give three out of the South who are the best ones or whatever, hey, Andre 2000, Big Boy, and Killer Mike.
I think those might be the top three off the top of my head from it. Yeah, from the South.
Mm-hmm. Because most people from there suck ass.
Yes.
Suck ass hard, you know? I will give this. I know we talked shit about him. I'll give credit to like Ludacris and stuff like that. I thought he also came in with his own style.
Ludacris had a cool sound. Like I don't hate Ludacris. I don't think he's like one of the best rappers ever, but I don't mind him like so much. You know?
Yeah, I actually find his music to be somewhat entertaining as well too.
Yeah, he's so fun. Ludacris, yeah. Fun. So especially his older stuff.
Yeah, because he came from Atlanta too, and I thought he was like, especially at that time frame, is because you know it was heavy on the East, and I thought he came out and with Outkast or whatever, and kind of just made ATL stand out a little bit more as far as like having, like, you know, they got like some players in there. They were just so different and unique in style. where Outkast were the most smooth, clean, but Ludacris kind of had like this hard, roughness to it or whatever and stuff. So I do give credit to Ludacris as well, too. And I know we talk shit about his acting career, but he sucks in that, though. So I get it. Yeah,
his older music's fine, though. I like some of those.
I could be wrong. Where's Too Short from?
I think Too Short's from Oakland, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay, yeah.
Or from somewhere in NorCal. I think it's Oakland.
I think it is NorCal, whatever. I don't know why I thought. I thought I heard something on Slip one time. He was born in Atlanta or something like that. I was just like, I don't know about that part or whatever. But yeah, goddamn, Too Short is 58 years old. Jesus Christ.
Damn. Oh, 60? I guess that makes sense. That's crazy.
Damn, we old as fuck.
Damn,
he's been married to Erica since year 2000. Damn, that motherfucker can't talk about what's my favorite word no more.
Damn, that's crazy.
Damn, he was born in 1966, Cody, in Los Angeles, California. Yeah, he's an LA boy.
Yeah, he's almost 60. That's fucking crazy.
Damn, yeah.
I remember randomly ran to that motherfucker at a club years back. That was a random fucking thing.
Sounds random.
Oh, shit, that's Too Short.
There's something about West Coast rappers, people like your Too Shorts and DJ Quicks Corrupt and all that, whatever. You tend to just run into them in random clubs.
Yeah.
I ran into DJ Quick into a casino.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just weird. It was like,
that's random as fuck, yeah.
Yeah, we both Compton boys. We never ran into each other in Compton. We ran into each other in Gardena Casino. I was just like,
oh shit, okay.
He had a white suit on. I'll never forget that shit. And I remember his comment he made too, because it was so crowded and people was bumping into it. And he had a drink in his hand. Yeah, I think it was cognac or something like that. Might have been Hennessy. And he just said, "Damn, you almost made me spill this drink on this $200 suit right here, man." I said, "That's such a fucking California thing." It's like,
but no, back on the Outkast, man, they have so many. All their albums are fucking fantastic.
They got six albums.
Can't be wrong. Obviously, some of the standouts that most people might know about, like Stank On Ya, obviously, and of course, Speaker Box, The Love Below, obviously, fucking huge album, huge, massive album, game changer type of album. My favorite personally for me, it might be ATLians.
Yep.
I think that might be my favorite album from them. Obviously, the title track, ATLians, fucking fantastic. You had Rosa Parks on the album. Great fucking song. God, the melody in that song, the production, so fucking catchy. So timely. Lyrics, fantastic. Yeah, man. But yeah, if you haven't, like, I know probably if you're like new to like the hip hop game, you like just not getting into it. You're trying to list like old artists, like, oh, like the best offering.
Was Rosa Parks on ATLians?
Like, if you like going out, was it ATLians? I could have sworn, or was that another one?
I think Rosa Parks was on. Yeah, I think Rosa Parks was on Aquamini. I think it was on Aquamini.
Oh, you're right. Fuck, that was good. Well, they're all great albums.
They're all great albums. Yeah.
I didn't
think about that for a while. I was like, wait a minute, was Rosa Parks on ATLians?
Yeah. What was that on?
Rosa Parks was on Aquamini. I believe. I could be wrong too, but. So I remember that was their first single off the third album.
Right. Okay. Shit, now I gotta look that up. Now I'm getting mixed up.
Hold up. Yeah, I'll pull it up right here.
Let me look that up. Yeah.
Yeah, ATLians had ATLians, obviously, and Elevators. Mm. That was their single. And Aquamania had Rosa Parks.
That was there we go. Okay, there. I get my shit. Yeah. That was, okay. My fault. But anyway, great album, great song. Going further to my point I was trying to bring up, go back to those older albums, because they give you a different flavor. Those older albums, they're more of a, obviously, so they came out in the late 90s, they have more of that late 90s kind of vibe, more of that classic hip-hop type of vibe, while still also be unique. And I think a cool thing about those albums too, that's kind of start beginning to transition to the kind of like that newer, at the time, I guess, sound of the 2000s. You kind of start to see like the roots of that in those older albums. But I think that's a cool little note there to look for, especially listen back to their older stuff. And obviously, yeah, great albums. Like I said, Outkast, their style, their the chemistry they had together, and the reason Why, like I said, why they're top high on my list is because they seem like they shouldn't work, but they do. Because they're a duo that has, I don't think there's another duo ever, any genre, that has, with the two artists within the duo, has such contrasting styles, but they work so well together.
Yeah, like Drake and 21 Savage.
Yeah, exactly.
so different.
21.
That's a good artist put on there, man.
I got to get shots out to Outkast, man, because literally they literally are they revolutionized. Just like all the artists we put on here, they revolutionized hip hop in a way.
I'm so glad you put Outkast and not just one or the other on there.
Fuck that! No, I would never do that. Yeah, look at all people like his Andre 3000. Andre 3000 is great. Don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love Andre 3000, but give Big Boy his fucking props.
God, yeah,
gotta say, goddamn.
I will say on those bigger hits they had, Big Boy was like the. Let's be real. I mean, those bigger hits that we talked about or whatever, Big Boy was the main vocalist on those hits and shit
I believe so.
Yeah, so I hate when people leave him out of the group or whatever. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, maybe in 06, I think I had a conversation with someone because they were like, Andre 3000, mm-hmm. one of the best MCs. I said, maybe you mean Outkast, not Andre 3000, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I said, Big Boy complimented him very well. And at that time, especially 2006, I was like, Andre 3000 hasn't done enough on his own for me to consider him to be one of the best MCs around or whatever and shit. Mm-hmm. But I said, but you put them collectively together, they're on a top 10 list without a doubt or whatever and shit. But at the time, at 06, I was like, yeah, I'm not ready to go that far yet on Andre 3000 on his own and shit like that. Once again, I know people listen to this. They love to take things out of context or whatever, and it's like, you don't fucking understand and shit. I was watching Ice-T.
Yeah, we're not shitting on Andre 3000.
Andre 3000 is amazing. Amazing.
He's great. He's fantastic. I think he's a revolutionary artist. Mm-hmm. I just don't think Big Boy gets enough props at all. Like Big Boy is a true MC.
Mm-hmm. For real. A real MC.
Yeah.
I saw Ice-T do Drink Champs with Noriega. And the question Noriega had asked him, Illmatic or All Eyes on Me? Without hesitation, Ice-T went, oh, Illmatic. He said, I'm a lyric guy. He said, Illmatic's way more lyrical than All Eyes on Me. He's like, I know that's about to piss off all the West Coast people right now. But he was like, bar for bar, word for word, Illmatic is just a better album. He's like, it's more lyrical. And he said, Nas was only 16 at the time when he wrote the damn thing, whatever. He was like, that's why all these young rappers nowadays, they got no excuse and stuff. Mm-hmm. Cody, you got to read them comments section. Oof.
All right, you know. I ain't going to look at that shit.
What does this old motherfucker know?
I already know what he's going to say. Or they're going
to
say, rather.
You are crazy. He's a hater. Look at him hating on Pac over there because he ain't here to defend himself. And I saw one comment. I bet he wouldn't say that shit if Pac alive. Man, they put Pac like he's some fucking mythical creature or something. Shit like that. Like, do you know this is Ice-T?
Like, Ice-T. I would think Ice-T of all fucking people know what the fuck they're talking about when it comes to fucking rap.
like they're trying to threaten him like, oh, he wouldn't say that if Pac was alive. Do you realize like Pac... Ice-T was a way bigger threat back in the day than Pac was, like, as far as in the gangbanging community or whatever. Are you serious right now? Like, Ice-T was an OG in the 90s when Pac was coming out, whatever and shit. I bet he wouldn't say that if Pac... Get the... Like...
I think Pac was still dancing in the background of videos.
Actually, Ice-T brought that up, by the way. He was just like... He's like, he said it took me a while to see Pac as a lyrical artist, whatever, because I always saw him as that guy that was dancing in the background, whatever, and stuff like that. And he was like, Nas came out with this album at 16, and it just like lyrically spoke to the world. I saw someone write in the comments section, oh, just a jealous old man that never amounted to a career. It's just like,
shut the fuck up. shut the fuck up. Anybody who hates an Ice-T, just shut the fuck up.
Man, been on TV for 25 fucking years,
Ice-T
by the way.
Ice-T is a national treasure, man. Ice-T is fucking hilarious. He's actually one of my favorite human beings.
He's funny as shit, actually, whatever. I love him, too, because he opens up the interview because he just got his Hollywood star fame, which, by the way, someone brought that up. They was like, he just mad because Pac got a Hollywood star fame. He's just like, you know Ice-T has one, too.
Ice-T don't give a fuck.
You know Ice-T has one, too, right?
Yeah.
And number two, like you just said, even if he didn't, I don't think he would give a fuck.
Ice-T wouldn't give a fuck, man. Ice-T has had a great career. He's continuing to have a great career. He don't give a fuck.
25 years on the same show, Cody.
Yeah.
That's fucking legendary, especially for a dude that was considered gangster rap. Like, I mean, like that's fucking legendary. I'm saying that right now. So we gotta West Coast. I love you, but we gotta get off the Pac dick ride. I've been saying that for years.
You and I both.
Yeah, I'm gonna continue.
Never been a Pac fan like that.
And we need to come to a realization that you're defending the worst album of his whole fucking career too. That album is horrible. Okay, it's got some corny ass.
I mean, we talked about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, shit. One day I'm gonna fucking review that album and be like, go track to track. That album is horrible. And someone said that All Eyes on Me is better because Pac was a global star and Nas is barely just known in New York. I was like, Jesus Christ, these motherfuckers are stans. I never thought I would use that terminology before, Cody, but I was like, these motherfuckers are stans. But yeah, so even Ice-T can get that hate though if you speak that shit on Pac or whatever. So just don't badmouth. I mean, the man just gave an opinion about which album he thought was better, but
literally, you know, we all know people love starting shit. They love fighting. They love to make something out of nothing. People just can't have opinions and shit. They just can't just leave it at that.
Ain't even like
opinions have to turn to arguments.
Ain't even like he brought it up. I don't even know where the question came from.
Having an opinion is an attack. That's what that is.
Skittles or Starbucks, Cody? Mm-hmm. What are you thinking?
I don't like any of them, but again, an opinion.
Who does this Negro think he is?
They both taste like shit to me. I don't like any of them. I'm a Snickers guy. I like chocolate, so I don't fuck around with it.
You would like nuts.
Yes, I do. I love nuts. They're good for you.
This motherfucker.
They're good for you. They're really good.
You know what? I'm done with you. Okay. You know what? You're just jealous because the Starburst people and the Skittle people, they made it. Yeah, that's what you're just jealous.
Oh, gotcha. Gotcha.
The Snickers, they ain't done shit. The only thing they get for is Halloween.
I have this subconscious jealousy. I haven't figured out your shit. It's been hidden beneath the seams.
Yeah, because you picked one over the other. That's right. You goddamn right. Yeah. Yeah, you goddamn right. Yeah. Get your shit together, man. You know. Anyway. All right, Cody. Outcast was good. That's a really good one for your June month. What you got for us in July, though?
July.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think this one might be a bit unexpected. It should be, but I have a feeling it might be a bit unexpected.
Drake, isn't it?
It is Drake, yes. Oh, killing it, man. Sorry, man. From the moment I heard Drake back in 2009 when he brought out what the bullshit song he had? Something, I forgot what that shit went like. I was trying to go with that joke. I can't even finish that fucking joke. I can't even play it. This is one where you started singing and shit.
Yeah.
You the best. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
You the best. Best. Yeah, that one.
You the best. You the best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Best I ever had. Best I ever had. Yeah. I forgot. I don't know how it goes. Yeah. That was
there
good.
You go. Yeah. Classic, I was like, man, this dude's going. Yeah. I like,
He talented. Yeah. That boy got talent.
That boy got talent.
That boy good. That boy good. Yeah. Goodish.
Yeah, well, hey, we are very much in the minority on that. I figure that out every fucking day. People look at me like I'm a fucking alien every time I say I fucking hate Drake.
How could you hate Drake? He like what? God, you just don't understand music.
No, they're literally like gas for Paul.
Yeah, you don't understand music. That's why if you hate Drake.
No.
Yeah. Fuck Drake. It sucks.
He sucks ass me. Anyway, no, this one might be unexpected. I don't think it should be. I have a feeling it might be because I don't think people would expect me to put this artist so high up on my list. You might. I don't know. But my July artist, I got to go with my man, full of energy, still to this day, my man, Busta Rhymes.
Fuck yeah.
Right.
Hell yeah. Fucking Busta Rhymes. Actually, was on my list, but you already got it.
Fucking Rhymes. Was he? Nice.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Love it.
Busta Rhymes.
Yeah.
In BET, at the BET Awards, they did a tribute to him as well, too.
Oh, did they?
And I heard it was pretty good, too, whatever. So, fucking Busta Rhymes.
Yeah, I think Busta Rhymes gets a lot of props. Mm-hmm. I don't think he gets enough. I think what this dude did in the late 90s, as far as having just a unique sound and just a unique vision, a personality, what he brought to the rap game, Nobody can fuck with that.
His storytelling and music videos, too.
Storytelling, fantastic. I remember when he came on the scene, he had a track in the back in the day, with Tribe Called Quest, called Scenario.
Yep, love Scenario.
Killed that shit. Fucking killed it. This is old school Busta Rhymes, too.
Mm-hmm.
Old school. Straight up MC Busta Rhymes. I mean, he's still MC to this day, but obviously. But it's just like, when he came on the scene, I was like, God, this dude is fucking fire. Mm-hmm. Dude is awesome. And he would try to call Quest. He was obviously another fire fucking group.
Mm-hmm.
Great fucking pairing. And then he came with his own offerings in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously. He's one of, I think he's the architect of, you know, that whole fast rap shit that a lot of people try to replicate now.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nobody could fuck with them on Busta Rhymes level.
Nope.
Because Busta Rhymes could do it, but you can actually still tell what he's saying. Yeah. You actually know what he's talking about. You can hear, you can listen.
What's cool about it, too.
The words.
Cool about it, too, is he'll go to radio shows where he do it, and they'll, like, spit that line real quick, where you can't do that in person. And he'll go, like, hit the beat real quick, and he'll do it right there live in person. You go like, this motherfucker. But I love what you said.
Mm-hmm.
He can still articulate the word. Nobody has ever, I've never once heard anyone ever say a bad thing about Busta Rhymes. I hear everyone loves him, whatever. Like, he's just like the genuine, nicest dude you can meet and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I heard that as well. Yeah. I also heard that. Like, he's actually a good dude. I've heard that, which a lot, you don't hear that about a lot of people.
I never hear anybody say that about anybody, really.
Everybody's just a bunch of assholes. Yeah,
yeah. And he really got even more popular. I mean, he was like one of those artists, especially when he came out with the that album that had the Touch It song on there with all the artists on there and shit.
Oh yeah, and then that Touch It remix, which is fucking crazy.
That's
just insane, dude.
It has its own style for each artist and shit, too, as well.
Yeah. The beat compliments it, too. Yeah, that's actually probably one of the best remixes, honestly.
He was kind of like the single king, if that makes sense.
He was, man.
His singles, man, were just always fucking the hottest shit on the radio and stuff like that. Like, I mean, I'm looking at some singles. Like, we got Touch It, Pastor Cabassier. Put your hands where my eyes can see. I know what you want.
That's one of my low key favorites. I know what you want, man.
Yeah, I know what you want.
I don't fuck with Mariah Carey, but she kills that song.
I fuck with her. I'd fuck with her.
Yeah, I'd fuck with her
in the bedroom. Like, I fuck with her wherever she wants to fuck with, whatever stuff. But I got a thing. Mariah, call me, girl. Like, I mean, don't bring them kids. I don't really like them things, whatever. But like,
fuck them kids.
Girl, yeah, fuck your kids. But I'm like, yo, Mariah, I fucks with you. Like, you can lip sync through any fucking thing you want to do. I don't really give a shit. Yeah. Play that Christmas song as long as you just
play that Christmas.
play that shit twice, girl. You put that white lingerie on. I saw you in that one time. Then fuck yeah, dude. I fucks with you all day, every day. Matter of fact, you on my list now, and it ain't even R&B list, but you on it somehow, whatever. Dangerous. Give me some more. Woo-ha.
There's so many, dude. It just keeps going, man. And then like I said, like he brought, like, it's similar to Missy Elliott as well as bringing like those unique style videos too.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, you know, you're watching a Busta Rhymes video because he always had. Well, I think it was Dangerous. Was it like the Show Enough?
Yeah,
ripoff.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
Yeah, I love the Show Enough. That was what I love about his videos. He always stole movie shit, basically, wherever.
So, yeah, exactly.
Especially like with I Love My Chick. He did the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, and then Pastor Cavassier. He did Harlem Nights or whatever with Red Fox and Eddie Murphy and them and stuff. So I always loved his music videos because it was just basically the music video black version of whatever movie he was incorporating.
Exactly. Exactly.
They were entertaining as shit too, whatever.
They were always entertaining and they were always so colorful. Was Breaking Neck, was that the one he was wearing like the face paint?
Yes.
It was kind of like the black light.
Yeah. I don't even remember if I even remember liking the song that much, but I remember loving the video of the I Love My Chick video with him and Gabrielle Union. I watched that and just go like, damn, I just watched Mr. and Mrs. Smith in 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm. and then going back over that too, the Pascal Vasse video, which is what was that movie?
Harlem Nights.
Harlem Nights. There you go.
Yeah.
Harlem Nights.
I love that. And that's one of my favorite. I love that movie. That movie's awesome, whatever and shit.
That's such a fun track, too.
That was the Genesis album, too. And that one had Break Your Neck on there as well, too. And then he had this one song on there. I think it was There's Only One with Mary J. Blige on there. I mean, he worked with a lot of female talent. And all the female talent he worked with,
he really did. He really did.
He worked with the legends. Not just any female talent either. He was working with the legends and whatever, like your Missy Elliott's and your Mary J. Blige's and shit like that. He's pulling out like Rod Digger and shit like that. It's like, damn, I ain't seen a Rod Digger track and shit like that in a while, you know. So he was dope as fuck or whatever. I love Busta Rhymes. Got never nothing bad thing to say about Busta Rhymes. Fucking fire too when he had that track with Q-Tip.
Yeah.
Q-Tip on there. That was his first. It was Get You Some. That was his first album. I love that album.
Like you said, he's still featured on like a couple tracks today. I forgot the last album. Yeah, I don't think he brought out anything in like it's been a cool minute since the last time he brought something
out. The last album he brought out was
remember
2020. It was when the pandemic happened. He brought out that album. It had like this mask cover. I think it was called Extinction. It was a long title though. And I know he just came out with a single called Beach Ball. I think it came out this year. I actually think it came out like literally 2 weeks ago. Came out like two, 3 weeks ago, he still make tracks, or whatever and shit. He gonna lose his voice one day. I know that for a fact. So he be rapping shit, but that voice is in a motherfucker though. So like that passed the Cavassier shit. That used to be my shit, man.
It's such a fun song, man. Pharrell did the production on that, obviously.
Yep.
Great fucking production on that song. Great lyrics. A lot of fun. Video's fucking amazing.
Probably the best I ever heard of Diddy.
That's a long-ass video.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot Diddy was on that track.
On that track. And he ain't just featured. He damn near a co-star.
That's right. Diddy wasn't even bad on there.
He wasn't in the background either. He was literally front and center. Yeah. Like he was like rapping.
You're right.
And remember at the beginning of the video, Mr. T just randomly pops up because it's like loud.
Oh, I haven't seen it in so long, but you're right.
The video is loud. I'm a dancer, people. We used to dance our ass off this one. So I remember when the video kicks on, or when the song kicks on. Don't this shit make up people wanna? And it's just like, oh my god! Like you get hyped in this shit, like oh
yep.
just...
yeah.
I love that Diddy's at the end of the bar and he just gets the bottle of Gravasa and then Mr. T just busts through the door or whatever and shit like that, and they're just looking at him like, what? It's like,
let's throw like Kool-Aid Man and shit.
And Diddy's like. And for some reason, Bus is like. Now open up a garage and pull a black out. Locking a fur coat, brewing the blue socks out. Yeah. Look at Mr. Tiki. They comparing jewelry sizes. Cause you want some more? Oh, ladies. That was Cody. Why is Pharrell underneath the pool?
What the fuck are you doing? like they couldn't go to the bathroom and they were in a more comfortable position. All right, damn, bro. Hey, he just had it like, fuck it. God damn.
This looks like a fun ass party. I got me. I don't even know.
People fucking on the pool tables. Yeah.
I don't even know what the fuck is going on.
Yeah,
in party,
comparing chains with Mr. T. Yeah, this is a bunch of random shit going on.
Fucking hell.
I love Fred looking backwards too. Like, somebody catch me. That's a badass Cavassier.
Yeah, it's probably. I think it was XO. I'm actually probably gonna buy a bottle or whatever and shit. Busta Rhymes, his videos is always like chaotic and fun and shit like that, whatever and stuff. So, and And I know people are like, oh, y'all talk a lot about music videos on this show. It's like, that's such a lost art now or whatever, like as far as putting a video together that's like telling some crazy story or whatever it may be and something, or like it fitting the actual song, unlike music today where the video has nothing to fucking do with the song. You're like, what in the blue fuck? It's like, what in the hell did this got to do with anything right now? Lady, you need to shake it off. She even get choke chops. You need to shake it off. Oh, and then they do the Rush Hour scene at the end of the video too.
Oh, that's right.
They did the Rush Hour
scene. Where they have the spa, that video so long. Right? Yeah.
So they have three different settings. And the first setting, they're at the bar where Pharrell's underneath the pool table, fucking some girl, and with Mr. T for some reason. It's just so random. The second video is Harlem. The second scene is Harlem Nights. And the third scene is Rush Hour 2 when they're in the spa parlor and they're getting massages and shit like that. And they just start randomly fighting together, the dudes and shit. I completely forgot about that part.
That's crazy. I totally forgot that shit.
I totally did too. Whatever.
Yeah, I haven't seen that video in so long.
I always remember the Harlem Nights scene, but I was just like, wait a minute.
That one, obviously, that's the one I always remember. Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute, wasn't that Rush Hour 2 as well in there? Yeah, I do. Let me see if I pull. Jamie Foxx was in that sequence too, remember?
I remember. Oh, dude, I totally forgot. Holy shit. That's crazy, dude.
Everybody love Busta, man.
Yeah.
She's fine as hell, too, by the way.
Gotta say, Jesus Christ. Yeah, if I say that,
fine. Lord have mercy. I don't even know why Jamie Foxx is there. Oh, he threw his drink in his face. Oh, what's going on?
Straight up, Rush Hour 2. I forgot about this.
Busta, what's up, sir? Busta Rhymes look like a fucking martial artist. Mm-hmm. Look at Diddy, he's just sitting there holding his drink like, where are all the women going? They should have did was got the actual Chris Tucker and Jackie Chan too as well.
That would have been cool as fuck.
That'd have been funny as hell. That was a fun video. I love that video. It's one of my like all time favorites because it's fucking so exciting. It's fun. The beat of it just got the trumpet. It sounded like it's something out of New Orleans or something like that. You know
yeah.
A lot of
Mardi has a vibe Gras, to it. Yeah,
a lot of Mardi Gras feeling to it, whatever. And like, I don't know how you could listen to that song and be angry. You listen to that, you'd be like, I'm happy now.
Oh, dude, you play that anywhere, everybody will start getting hype, start jumping up, start clapping and shit. Y'all get any fucking party started.
Any party started. I agree with that.
That's a great party starting song right there. I love that song. I love that song. But yeah, man. Busta Rhymes, man. Why I had to put him on his list. Like I said, I know a lot of people give him his props. I don't think he gets enough props.
No.
So that's why I had to include him on here. His style, what he brought to the hip hop game. Another one of these artists, you know, you can't replicate the shit.
Nope.
And just the variance of cadence, like the ranges he can rap that. Mm-hmm. And he do any style of song, it'd be like a low key style song, like I Know What You Want, romantic type song, real low key type song. Mm-hmm. He kills that fucking song, or something very high range, like Dangerous, or Put Your Hands Where I Can See, anything like that. He'd be wild and crazy, or he'd be like down here. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of range. That's why I love about Busta Rhymes. The motherfucker range for days. We talk about actors have range. Busta Rhymes got range. Mm-hmm. Busta Rhymes got range for fucking days. And I also have the range, you got the style to go with it too. You got the style to go with it and the lyricism to go with it.
We were so spoiled
the man really is a jack of all trades kind of dude. Yeah. Really is. Like Busta Rhymes is that fucking dude. And like I said, like that's why I'm glad I didn't know the BET. I'm glad they honored him. Kudos to BET for doing that. The dude,
I need to watch it. I heard it was really good. So
Yeah, what was it? Okay, dope. Yeah, I gotta probably check it out too.
Yeah, I had a lot of friends telling me, yo, you got to watch it. Even I think Yoon told me, did I watch it? I was like, I didn't watch it, but I saw a clip of it. It looked pretty good. And he did his own concert too as well at the end as well. So
yeah, and then it's just so funny to me, like all the artists we've been talking about these past few weeks and like the props they get on a certain level. I'm like, how the fuck does Jay-Z over any of these months? That's why I keep coming back.
Yeah.
Like, well, what is it about fucking Jay-Z
that makes he had that line, dude? He's a businessman.
I really don't understand. Like, I don't want to hate.
I don't either, actually.
But he's. I'm just trying to like put it together. Like, what is it? What are we missing? Like,
I don't think Jay-Z is even close to Busta.
There is nothing special about Jay-Z to me.
I think Busta at all. Is better
and
than Jay-Z.
I don't want to make this a big old hate session because we talk a bunch of shit about Jay-Z. I don't want to do that. I just
it sucks.
I'm just coming to the realization now. Like, what is it about this motherfucker that is so appealing? I don't understand it. Like, I don't get it, especially from artists of that era. People put him over everybody of that era. Everybody, even fucking Nas.
He never was. He never was the number one rapper at one point. Any time he didn't have a different, unique style. He got
He
got a lot of his lines and shit from other rappers, mainly Biggie.
Yeah,
I mean, so it's just like
I don't understand the shit. I don't get it. I really try to wrap my finger around it. It's just kind of frustrating to me in a way. like these artists, like yeah, they get their props, but they're near fucking Jay-Z, Sean Carter.
I thought he was a pop artist. I never considered him a hip-hop artist, to be honest with
you. I would agree with that, too.
Yeah, I thought he was a pop artist. Because his singles were just like poppy as fuck or whatever and shit. And it's just like, this dude is not a... I know people consider him a lyricist, too, which is fucking crazy to me.
I don't understand.
That blows my fucking mind or whatever.
Hey, to each their own, I guess. I don't know, but hey, that...
Busta Rhymes is better than Jay-Z to me, so...
Oh, yeah. I know that's probably sacrilege to a lot of people, but that's easy for me. That's like no brainer. Like, yeah,
duh. Yeah. That dude sucks or whatever. I'm listening to his music too, and I just go like, for real.
I listen to his music as well.
Matter of fact,
I tried to get into Jay-Z. I tried.
Yeah, matter of fact, Ice-T on that interview I just talked about, he gives his story about how 99 Problems was his song originally. That I can't remember if he sold it or whatever it was to Jay-Z or something like that, but he even rapped it on that interview he did. And I said, that even sounds better than Jay-Z's version or whatever, because it actually flows in the cadence of, like, pimping and stuff like that or whatever and shit. I didn't know what Jay-Z... That's the thing about it. Sometimes I just don't even know what Jay-Z's talking about. I just, like... And it's not that he ain't clear. I understand what he's talking about. It's just his lyrics don't make no goddamn sense as far as the story. This motherfucker said vanilla wafers in the villa one time, and I was just like, What in the fuck that got to do with the track of this song? So it's like his storytelling is just bland and boring to me or whatever. It's just like, I'm sure he's a very smart businessman. And I ain't taking that away from him or whatever and shit, but like his music shit is horrible. That's why when I hear him come back, I made that comparison. It's like, out of all these artists we've seen, you know what the one common thing that they all have? They never worked with Jay-Z realistically.
Nope.
Because, like, the style just doesn't go together. Like, when you hear Nas and Wu-Tang get together, it's just like, oh, that sounds right. Yeah, but hearing Jay-Z and Wu-Tang be like, what? I got to hear how that sounds. It was like, that doesn't even sound like it go together and shit. So, I don't know. I found so many other rappers, Method Man, Busta Rhymes, Jadakiss out of New York that just are fucking better than Jay-Z, if you ask me. Maybe it's just the way he promoted himself in the early to me, he didn't really promote himself no much better than Busta Rhymes did at the time. So I'm like, is it Beyonce? Is that what it was? Because he got with her?
I don't know.
I mean, that's the only thing I can think of now. So because Jay-Z's ass sucks. The only dude he was good enough to work with was Kanye West and Linkin Park.
It starts with one.
You can keep that shit, bro. It starts with only you. You can keep that shit, dude, whatever. And I'm thinking like maybe it's his test of time, but I'm like, no, Wu-Tang still makes albums. Busta still is putting out tracks, whatever. I mean, Nas puts out, it's like...
So you can argue Nas is just as good as he ever was.
Yeah,
still.
So
you can argue that.
I have yet to hear, and I think I use this sentiment on Eminem or whatever stuff. So I don't really hear people talk about Jay-Z's first album and shit. Not nobody talk about that shit. Like, what is Jay-Z's classic album that people are like refer to when they talk about Jay-Z? That's how I always go back. Like, if you were a rapper from the late 80s, early 90s, whatever and stuff, and people still talk about your albums today or whatever as if it's one of the greatest, that's how I know you a legend then. I never once hear anybody ever talk about a fucking Jay-Z album, his first album or anything like that. I'm not even saying that because I'm biased or anything like that. I just never hear it. I never see it in the top 10 list or anything like that. I never hear it or whatever. It feels like his body of work just from the test of time is what keeps him in the conversation because it never was just one album. it never was featurettes he did or anything like that or whatever. The one thing I always give him credit for, that motherfucker knows how to find talent. He found Lupe Fiasco, Rihanna, and some others or whatever. Yeah. And I'm just like, that motherfucker knows how to find talent. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I think the dude sucks ass through a straw. And one of them swirly straws, too, so you can see the shit go all the way through and stuff.
Man, is it a swirly straw?
Yeah, like the sippy cup.
The swirly.
Yeah, that sippy cup, too. You can hold it with both hands and shit, and you just see it like a fucking roller coaster and shit swerving through
got,
and stuff.
Got so, the swirl.
Yeah, that's how he sucks ass through a straw. So, yeah, because I think he's terrible. He might be one of the worst fucking artists. And the motherfucker steals lines like a motherfucker, too. I mean, Jesus Christ. Any Biggie fans out here can hear the lines and just go like, yeah. Yeah, you suck. Busta Rhymes is a good addition to this list, though.
Hell yeah, man. Love me some Busta Rhymes.
You know what? One thing I'm learning through these lists now, because we're up to number five now.
Mm-hmm.
We were really spoiled back then with variety.
We were. We actually were. Actually, that's a great realization.
We were spoiled with all types of variety. If you didn't like Jay-Z, you didn't need Jay-Z. You can go to all so many different artists. Nowadays, if you don't like Jay-Z, well, you ain't got no choice. He's the only legend still rapping probably then, right? Like, it's one of those things. I'm just using that as an example. I'm not saying that's real or anything, but it's just like, you listen today, there is no variety. It all sounds the same.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like the same shit. They even look the same. The baby don't look no different from Lil Uzi. They all got the fucked up hairstyle.
I just hate the state of the like flows today, and it's the production too is fucking terrible.
They don't even stay on beat, Cody.
And obviously what they're talking about, I don't give a fuck. That just goes without saying. But the main it's just the flow and the production. This shit is awful.
The style is horrible. Ain't nothing unique about these motherfuckers. They all got the same shitty looking Mickey Mouse tattoos and shit or whatever. Yep. I mean, They all get the same lazy ass videos or whatever and shit. They always got the laziest ass features on there and shit. And then you got this one light skinned motherfucker with a short haircut that joins in every now and then. His name Drake and shit. So it's like, yeah, from Canada of all fucking places.
Yeah,
fucking Canada.
Yeah,
Canada. You can go fuck yourself for sending that motherfucker here. So, I'll never forgive you for that shit.
Oh man.
Fuck Canada. Put that abomination on us. Anyway, Cody, that was a good list right there, sir. I look forward to hearing
Thank you, sir. Thank you. I thought it was a pretty good list. Glad you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
Yeah, I love both our lists, man. I think we come with some really, really, really great, compelling lists thus far.
And nobody will listen to.
Artists of the year. Yeah. Like, what is this?
My father listened to this. It's old.
You fucking old heads.
Shit. Imagine when we get to 60 years old.
Oof. Oh, Jesus. Hopefully I'm dead by then. I don't even want to know. Fuck that look like. Hopefully I'm dead. I think I want to live to 60. Yeah.
Kind of hoping I'm dead by at least about 50 or something. I don't want to listen.
I think 50 is a good age.
I didn't see it all. If I ain't retired, and then go ahead and just take me.
Yeah, I think 50 is a good age.
I don't need to hear no more y'all youngsters bullshit or whatever and stuff like that. You know, what you sipping on over there, sir?
Oh, yeah, I've been sipping on this shit. We've been talking for like what, an hour and a half. I've been sipping on this has been quite a few pours of this. Obviously, you can tell my stance on this is I'm drinking so much when you pour.
I saw whatever.
So I reviewed a rendition of this. I think it was like last year or the year before. It was a different store pick.
Mm-hmm.
What this is a good old San Matias.
I do remember. It was
Extra Añejo.
I think it was last year, sir.
Was it last year?
I think it was, yeah, because we did it around this time. I think we might have did it in May.
Maybe it was around this time. Okay. Yeah, I remember doing it. It was the year before, last year. I don't remember. Okay.
And you did the K&L pick, right, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was the K&L pick. I was going back before. Was it Beverage Warehouse or K&L? So it might have been K&L.
Yeah, it was one of those, yeah. I think I remember. Or did I get the K&L pick?
I don't remember. It was K&L or Beverage Warehouse. It was one of those.
Because I have a K&L pick of it too, because it's a good price.
This one, I got this one from Total Wine.
Oh, nice.
Total Wine store. Yeah, Total Wine store pick. San Matias. Extra Añejo. 100% agave coming in at a 90 proof, 45% alcohol. And the fun thing about these are aged for 3 years. and French white oak barrels.
Oh, nice.
So that gives it a bit of extra dimension, flavor, color, all that good stuff, if you will.
Let's
get right into it.
Almost got a 1792 full nice, proof from Total Wine. And then I remember what you said, and I said, yeah, I hate this fucking boy. Why was I about to get this?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The 1792 foolproof, they had it there. The store picked one, though, whatever. And I was just like, ooh, I wouldn't mind trying Total Wine's version. And then I just remember what Cody said, and I was like, oh, yeah, I don't really give a fuck about these anymore.
Yeah.
Just sit back on the shelf.
Yeah, yeah, 1792 is some bullshit. Yeah. I'm like, any pickles I've gotten, they all bullshit. I don't give
a Total Wine has a shit ton of tequila store picks, though.
They do. They do. That's what I noticed. Yeah, they do.
A shit ton, actually.
Like, they do. They do. Yeah, dude. Actually, yeah. Yeah.
Saw their logo on everything, actually, when I was in that Total. I was just like, God damn, what didn't they do over here?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It pours a nice light golden color. See right there?
Yeah.
Very nice light golden.
You think if you work for Total Wine, they let you help pick the barrel?
I would hope so. I know usually they let like higher upper management
pick
that shit, but if you had like a palate for it, I don't see why they wouldn't.
Man, I need to talk to somebody there then and be like, hey. Slide that to your boy.
Yeah. yeah, for real. Yeah, let me taste that real quick. Yeah.
Hey, I'm a Grand Reserve member. They should give me all kind of shit. No,
for real, yeah.
Shit.
Exactly.
Instead of keeping me in those damn Blantons. I don't want that shit no more.
Yeah. And it's funny you mentioned that because San Matias right here, it literally says Grand Reserva. I don't know if you ever noticed that.
I've never noticed. I never read this. That's funny. Hey, letting you know then. Even the bottle telling you, like, hey, remind you, go spend that money.
hey, don't forget now.
Gotta buy that
hey,
shit.
Hey, yeah. It's real super peppery on the nose, man. I'm loving this. I got a lot of that white pepper thing going on. Super white peppery. A lot of spices really in your face on the aroma. You do get a little bit of that vanilla, a little bit of agave, but it's super peppery. Peppery forward. Tons in the nose.
I do remember now. It was Beverage Warehouse.
Beverage Warehouse?
Yeah, that you got it from. Yeah, I remember.
That's what I was kind of thinking. I was like, was it Beverage Warehouse or K? I know it was like, when is that? But it was Beverage Warehouse.
It was Beverage Warehouse. I had got the one from K&L. You had got the one from Beverage Warehouse. Right.
Yeah, I didn't remember. Okay.
Yeah, the Beverage. So if you remember the Beverage Warehouse, nose is better or worse?
I think it's better. I don't really remember what that one. I have that one tucked away too. So I better do like a little comparison later. I don't really remember my thoughts on that one. Mm-hmm. Very liking it. I remember my thoughts on it completely. This one, ton of white pepper. You almost get like a little bit of a cedary kind of wood thing going on too.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath the white pepper. The white pepper is prominent as fuck.
Cedar cyanide.
Yeah. it's cedar cyanide. But I kind of like that though. That's kind of like a unique characteristic for tequila at least. I don't really got a lot of wood notes on tequila.
Mm-hmm.
Really nice. Really nice. I like that aroma. Going for the palette, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, sip that bad boy. You sip that motherfucker.
You know when it has me dancing, that's a good sign.
When it got you really dancing, baby, shoot, you know that's how it's
happening. When that shit got me dancing, bro, this shit is so... man. What is that term that a lot of the spirit enthusiasts do not like? But I can't think of a better term to describe this for right here. This shit is buttery smooth. So smooth, so easy drinking. It goes down like butter.
It's like butter, baby.
It's like butter, man. Oh my God. Yeah. You get a ton. This shit is so, those barrels, man, the influence is huge. You get a ton of that French oak vanilla character on this. Fucking massive. You get the traditional agave notes a little bit in the middle and a little bit on the back end, but primarily from the front to the back. Vanilla forward. You get a little touch of that pepperiness. We add a little bit of a spicy character to it. But man, this is pretty much a vanilla bomb to me.
Nice.
Which I don't mind at all, but it's not like the overly sweet artificial taste of vanilla, which I fucking hate. Can't stand that. Yeah. This tastes like good, actual natural vanilla. Like this is the vanilla I should like. I love this. It's not in your face too much. Like I said, it's not like that sickly sweet kind of vanilla.
Artificial, like that mezcal I had that last year.
Exactly. Exactly.
That shit pissed me off.
Oh, man. Like I said, it's really good, man. I don't want to say this is the most complex pour I tasted in my lifetime, as far as like extra net hills go, but man, what it's doing, it is doing it fucking well.
Especially for the price point. It's like $50, isn't it?
Price point too. Yeah, it's like $45, $50, something like that.
Yeah.
Oh man, it is so good, man. Like I want to knock it for not being so complex, but what it's giving me is giving me to it so well, fucking well, man. Mm-hmm. Like I can't really knock it. Like I'm kind of stuck between two ratings right now.
Is there anything you'd like to add into it that might?
I would. It's hard. It's crazy saying this because I love more complex pours. I love more complexity in my drinks, but this one, it is doing what it's doing so fuck well. I don't mind it. I usually don't say that about, you know, kind of like one note, quote unquote pours. Like it's so, what it's doing is it's doing like it's nailing it completely for me, and I can't. My mind is telling me, yeah, knock this a few notches, but what I'm tasting and what I'm feeling, I guess, in my heart, if you will.
My body's telling me no.
Fuck that, dude.
But my body.
Yeah, exactly. That's what yeah.
My mind is telling me no.
Yeah.
But my
So I like, I was hovering at 3.5, but I think I gotta get this last drop. For what it's giving me right now. Yeah, I think gotta for being quote unquote one note kind of pour, and I probably never happen again on the show for something being like so one note, but it does that note so fucking well that I can't complain about.
Mm-hmm.
And like the aroma is great too, so it's like I can't knock it because it's so good. And you saw me, I've been drinking this the entire show. It's like my fucking fifth pour of this shit.
I would also say the question is would you buy another bottle?
Hell yeah, buy another bottle.
Then it's the last drop.
I can sip the shit all day.
If you buy another bottle, that tells me that's the last drop then, baby.
Yeah, this is fantastic. Like, I've always liked San Matias, even like the regular San Matias. I think it's great pour.
Yeah.
Store picks I've had been good. This might be, I don't remember the store pick last year. I remember when I gave that.
I know you didn't give it a last drop. That's right.
I'm pretty sure I did.
I remember you liked it, but you didn't give it a last drop.
But man, this shit's fire, man. I don't know, just today or how I'm feeling. This shit is good, man. Like, this is really good. This is giving me everything I want right now, and like a fire quality tequila pour, extra añejo. Right, it's giving me the upper echelon of quality. It didn't taste artificial, and then tastes like some backhand bullshit.
$50 for extra añejo too is
it's an extra añejo, $50 store pick.
Come on,
bro.
Come on, man. $50 for extra añejo. Extra añejo, that's a little bit more expensive sometimes.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
$50. That's probably the cheapest extra añejo you can probably get. So
like shit. I think the only thing I can knock with this, I would like a little bit more of a deeper color to this. That's probably the only thing I would knock about this.
Yeah.
That's so tertiary.
It's got that wine color.
Yeah. That's a little lighter than I prefer in my extra añejos, I guess. Like it's pretty, it's on the lighter side.
It's probably aged long enough or whatever, but
but man, this is so fucking good to me. This is treating me very well right now. This gets the last drop. Once again, this is San Matias extra añejo store pick from Total Wine. Absolutely delicious. Last drop.
Last drop right there, people.
I love it. Loving this right now. Loving this.
Yeah, 21. I got that last drop. Well,
yeah, man.
I ain't gonna argue with the man right there. I can't argue with my last criteria on last drop is, will I buy another bottle of this?
No brainer. I was happy to spend another $50 on this.
That's why last week my bottle didn't get a last drop, because I'm like looking at it, would I buy another bottle of this? Not really. It's not a last drop then. If I'm buying more of it, want to do pours of it, that's a last drop. If I don't want to do that, it's no longer a last drop criteria there, trifecta, whatever. One day we'll have the criteria guidebook for you guys to buy.
Yeah, over here.
Chapter 1, 21-21. That means it tastes like shit. Don't buy. Chapter 2, I let Cody write this one, so you got to wait for him. Chapter 4, we forgot what it was on, but we going to get back to this in the next book. All right, people. I'm going to get out of here. We're done.
Oh, man. That's good. That's some good shit, man.
Cody's over there sipping the good shit. He's got good music to listen to, and he's got good sips now, whatever stuff. So
great show today. I'm in a good mood.
Yeah.
All good time. All good
we'll be
vibes.
Back next week for Mix and Match.
That's right. Mix and Match.
I'm about to go do what I love to do best. That's hit these roads.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Back on them streets.
Yeah, I don't look forward to it. I just looked up the traffic.
Yeah, where I was like, I was about to be back with my ass. So I feel fucked up right now. I'm going to lie to you. My sore ass. I'm going to take a breather today. I'm going to relax. I'm going to sip some more San Matias. That's what the fuck I'm going to do today.
I think that liquor's got him feeling well. That's what it is. Yeah. When you old and you have old pain, that's usually what makes you feel better.
Exactly.
Anyway, people, thanks for tuning in. I hope you listen to some Outkast and Busta Rhymes today. And get some San Matias while you're at it as well, too, because it's only 50
bucks. That's the way you do it. Only 50 bucks. Quality pour.
So, I'm your godfather of whiskey. I'm JB.
I am the godfather of craft beer, Cody.
And like we always say, livers will never be the same.
And glasses will never be dry.